everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit is using everybody as much as they yield to Him, according to how they yield to the Holy Spirit, as much as they give Him. He uses their efforts, their logic, their wisdom, their yielding, which brings out their very best, whatever they have to give. However the Holy Spirit can inspire them, if he can do it, He uses them to their full limitation. As much as they yield to Him, He uses them. We waste no one's efforts. And it's important to know this. Now, Jesus said it this way: many that are first will be last, many that are last will be first. Some of the people that the Lord have put first in His body, as far as their work and their anointing and what He's given them to do, they may not feel like God put them first. And we don't always see the end result of our ministry. Sometimes you feel like you can minister for years and feel like you've gotten nowhere. But you didn't realize that the Holy Spirit was helping people through your message, even people that you don't know. Because when a message is preached, it goes from the ears of the people into their heart and into their lifestyle, into their manner of living. And sometimes, because of what they've heard, because of yielding to the Holy Spirit on Sunday or Wednesday or whenever they were hearing a message from the Lord, from their pastor and others, the same word that gets in their heart, it'll be there stored until the Holy Spirit needs it. And it's the Holy Spirit that calls people to say what needs to be said, because there is an anointing on the word. If you're around a holy, anointed pastor and he speaks holy, anointed words, people that watch your life, that watch the life of their flock, when they have hard times, they trust the people that love them the most and the people that will listen, people that won't backbite, people that love God. And the Holy Spirit causes them to answer their concerns. He helps us to answer the concerns of others at strategic times. Not every day, not every moment, not all day. When we live our lives in love with God, it happens, but because the Holy Spirit brings out the best in all of us. And He has caused me to remember strategic things at strategic moments in time. Sometimes people say, I told them this and that and I've forgotten it, but the Holy Spirit didn't. And when I look back and think about it, when I listen to a message, sometimes the message that the pastor's giving supplies my current need, prepares me for future needs, and also other people's needs. And I have shared what pastor said in my own life several times, and people have lived and gone to heaven because of it. My pastor happens to be a prophet. And every year, and sometimes during the year, the Lord will give him a word of prophecy. And I think it was in 2007, he gave a word of prophecy that sitting on the fence won't work this year. Either you're going to have to be in or out. And I told a friend of mine at work that word. And this time he listened intently. He took that, and I could tell it astonished him. He didn't walk away, change the subject as in other times. He listened. Now the next year he passed, but he died saved. A word can go a long way. He died saved. Either he rededicated his life or he came back to Jesus. Or he believed on Jesus and got saved. He got saved. I know he got saved. By the Holy Ghost, I know he got saved. It's important to yield. If anything if I could preach one message for the very last time, it would be on following God, yielding to the Holy Spirit. Because as we yield, we give God something to work with. Never underestimate what you release in the Spirit. Have full faith in your work and what you're doing. Believe in what you're doing. You got to believe in what you're doing. The anointing is working. Everybody that's attracted to it, everybody that's a hearer of the word, not a forgetful hearer, but a hearer of the word. A forgetful hearer, they don't value what they heard. But a remembering hearer, they plant that word in their heart. Now, they may forget it in their mind, but not on purpose. And people do let words slip. But sometimes you embrace a thing, and it's etched in your heart to the point that you live by it. Sometimes people don't focus on a word to remember it and quote it. They focus on it to live by it. And some things stick out more than others, and they happen to remember it verbatim. Now, that happens, everything, all these things that I'm saying have happened to me. Even letting things slip have happened to me. But some things God said, well, I will never forget it. I can always recall it. I never had a problem recalling it and talking about it. Except for the times that I was around people that were not humble. They were proud. And the Holy Spirit just zipped it up and locked it away like in a suitcase where I couldn't get it. And when I leave that presence, it all come back. That have happened too. But many of the words that God has given, I remember them and I will never forget them. Now the Holy Spirit can, it's easy for him to cause you to forget something as well as remember something. And I learned these things by growing and training. The first spoken word that I remember speaking, I was at church and I used to, when God blessed, gave me the gift of prophetic utterance, I used to write what God would give me in my spirit. Instead, if I didn't have anybody speaking to, I'd write it on paper. And I looked at the nine gifts. It didn't say that there was a gift of writing, but the Apostle Paul and Peter and many others, even Moses, scribed the word of God. That's a prophetic gift, and they're writing what was coming up in their spirit. They're just not speaking it. Instead of speaking it, they're writing it. Well, at the church in Pratt City, AOH, Elder May used to ask me, did I have any words at the end of the service? And when I had something, I would share it. And I would write it down and I would read it. And it would usually be short. Just a few phrases to encourage God's people. And the people received it. Because that's a very loving church. And all the people there are very kind-hearted and loving. And they love God. They're very receptive. And I don't say that lightly. They're very receptive to the word of God. Because they had a pastor that's that way for a very long time. Blessed man of God. But this Sunday, instead of the Lord giving me a short phrase, he gave me a paragraph of prophecy. So I grabbed my notebook because I knew the time was coming that he was going to ask me, and I wanted to have it all written down. As soon as I touched my notebook, all of it was forgotten. And I said, Lord, he's going to call on me, and I want to give that word, but I don't remember. And then I realized in the spirit that the Lord didn't want me to write it this time. He wanted me to speak it. I knew it. I knew it to the point that I put the notebook down. And as soon as it left my hands, the word came back. That's why I say he can cause you to forget, and he can cause you to recall it. So it all came back. It was recalled. It was remembered. It was in my heart. It never left my heart, but I couldn't remember what it was until it came back. I said, Lord, that's so much. I can't remember all that. He said, and the Lord gave me an instruction. He said, say the first part and the rest will flow. And he's training me. So I spoke the first few words and all of it flowed right out of my heart, right out of my mouth. And I was able to give that word to the people. And from that time on, I spoke prophetically instead of writing it down. And I still write. Books are still necessary. The prophetic word of God is still necessary, written and spoken. When the Lord sent me to pastors, he would often give me written words and sometimes spoken words. Sometimes my instructions were to give the word verbally. And sometimes it was even more different than that. Sometimes he'll have me a few things to say, and then he'll say, if the pastor's receptive and ask questions, then you tell him this. But if and the Holy Spirit would gauge how he received the word of God. And if he was receptive, I spoke more of that word. If he was reluctant, it stopped. That's why I say, the person that's anointed, they can turn their anointing on. And people who are receptive to the Holy Spirit, they turn it on also. It's activated by the person who's anointed, because you have to be willing. The Holy Spirit's not going to hijack you. You got to be willing to yield to him. And if you yield to him, then, and people are around to hear the word, if they love the word more than their own will, if they love the word, they activate your anointing. And I know this. When people activate my anointing, sometimes the Lord have me saying things I never thought about, concept that's just beautiful, that I don't have the wisdom to even speak. So I like it when I'm around hungry people. Because we don't really appreciate what the anointing can really do in our lives. We don't have the knowledge of what it can do. But our anointing is very powerful. And what we release in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit can do much with it. Things, concepts you can't see or imagine. I always focused on what I said and how people received it. And most of the time it looked like people hear it and forget it. But your heart don't forget. If it's in your heart, the Holy Spirit knows how to recall it. And if he is addressing something that's not a current problem, then people do forget it because it's not on their mind. It's not the first thing on them. It's stored. A lot of the anointing, a lot of the revelation of God is stored. Our heart is a bank full of the word we've been hearing for years. And when the Lord needs it, he wakes it up. He brings it forth and helps us do his will. See, the growth of the church is not by might. That's your strength. It's not by power. That's the strength of others, people. But by his Spirit. And it's by his Spirit working through people who love and worship him in spirit and in truth. And even carnal believers. Sometimes the Lord will use who he can. They might be foolish. They may be carnal. And the Holy Spirit, for the sake of his people, will use those people. And that was a pastor. He would say some things that just wasn't right. And then he'd say things under the anointing. So the Lord knew this. And he knew I was growing and trying to learn. So he gave me a dream about it. Now, this was a pastor I had many, many years ago. He gave me this dream, and he showed me the same pastor, same man of God, in both situations. And I could detect when he was under the anointing from the time that he was just talking out of his mind. And the Lord said, only listen to him when I'm using him. So people who do things that they shouldn't be doing, or they think wrong, or they believe lies, and preach wrong. You know, I was talking in the last broadcast about static. When people teach, you know, seducing spirits, they try to trip people up, and sometimes people believe things they should not. And they get mixed in their message, and it's like static. The Lord's trying to use them, and Satan's trying to use them. And their mind's somewhere in the middle. But what you have to do is watch the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit never deviates from the Word, but men will. And if they deviate, then don't listen to that. You're not required by God to listen to a deviation of the Word. Never. No matter who it is, even if it's me or anybody else, even if it's the pastors we love, we don't deviate from nobody. Paul said, follow me, imitate me, watch me. Do as I do, as I do what God does. Follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me only as I follow. And I would say the same thing. Don't listen to me unless I'm speaking by the Holy Spirit. It's not about pride. It's about love. All of God's word is according to his love, even the rebukes. Even the most vicious rebukes. It's still God, and it will save your very life. Now, on my end, to keep from preaching mischief and seducing spirits, doctrines, and devils, I study God's word. I commune with the Lord. I live in his presence so that I can do my job right, even perfectly. Now, that's my attempt, but I'm a man. People can be deceived, and I know I can be deceived if I don't watch according to the word. And when there are some things I believe, if I'm curious, I ask the Lord questions. If I'm not comfortable, I wait before I minister it. Sometimes the Lord give me things I know I have to minister it because he prompted me to do so. But if it's very strange, I ask for confirmations in time so that I can minister on time. If I have a problem, I just let him know. I say, Lord, I got to see that more clearly. And I asked him to prepare me, you know, so I can do. And he confirmed it through other men of God and women of God. And I don't know what church you may go to, but don't limit the women. There are many people that I've been very blessed by, and a lot of them were women. Women think totally different than men. They can think, they think scripturally, but different. I've had some of the best conversations with women Christians than men, because women are more apt to yield to the Holy Spirit. And they can learn things. They learn a lot from the Holy Spirit. I say more than men because they're not as competitive. Anybody can yield to the Lord. But when people are competitive, like we were talking about in the last broadcast, it runs the Holy Spirit away. He flees. He don't like pride from nobody. And he don't want his holy revelation given to people who love pride. That's something that the church has got to drive out of Canaan land. God gave us Canaan land. Now we need to drive out the Canaanites. We need to drive out the Amalekites. The Amalekites were the most proud people ever. God didn't want nothing of their saved and savage. None of their animals. None of their possessions. Their possessions were supposed to be burned. Or at least heat treated. It was supposed to be burned by fire. Nothing was supposed to be received unless they burned it with fire. The Lord wanted no form of pride. They were the deadliest enemy that Israel ever had. And they're surrounded by enemies now, but nobody was like the Amalek. The Lord wanted all of them dead. Saul was supposed to destroy the men, the women, and the children, and the animals. Now, God was so serious about what he had given King Saul to do, Saul ended up disobeying God and got fired as king because of it. But he was still anointed. And even in a state of disobedience, sometimes he prophesied. Even in a state of disobedience. See, the anointing, the way I understand it, God don't take it back. Once you're anointed, you're anointed. Even if you go to hell, you'll still be anointed, to my understanding. I don't know if Saul went to hell or not. I hope not. I hope he got it right before he did. But the circumstances he died under were not good. So if you're anointed, it's important to obey God. Jesus said, many will come to me saying, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. Now you have to be anointed to prophesy. We cast out demons in your name. You have to be a Christian to do that. And many other works. But he going to say, depart from me. You work iniquity. Anybody, if they desire to, can work iniquity. But there's a consequence. The wages of sin is death, whether you believed on Jesus or not. Don't cross the line. People say once saved, always saved. If you don't leave the kingdom, but if you start deviating, you walk on dangerous ground. It's not hard to understand. And it's important to take God at his word and obey him. That's what we live. We live when we obey God, not when we disobey him. Disobedience cannot be life. But God loves us. And he works with us. That's why Jesus is also a high priest. He pleads our case before the Lord so that God won't get upset and take us out. The Father loves us. That's why he set it up that way. People think when God told Moses he was going to destroy the people and raise up another nation through him, God was not kidding. Moses immediately interceded for the people, and it was real. And the Lord trained him that way. See, that's why you, as men of God, women of God, receive your training. The training that God is trying to get over to you, you need it. We need our training, just like we need to breathe air. We're going to have to learn to do things God's way and not man's way. But move by the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. Flow with him. Obey him. Live in spirit and in truth, and a lot of problems will be solved. People that love God, they don't deviate. They don't get into trouble that people who love the world get in. They avoid the wrong things at all costs. It's important that we all love God and take him at his word and hear his voice and speak his life. If we deviate, then God has to do something about it. Don't think that God's going to judge the world for rejecting Jesus and excuse the church for rejecting Jesus after they know better. It doesn't work that way. Everybody that get left, they deviated somewhere. If they don't go in the rapture, they deviated somewhere. And we need to stay on the narrow path. It's not by works. Our salvation is by the blood of Jesus only. But he made us holy so we could live holy. I'm not trying to earn my way into the kingdom by living holy. I'm just trying to do what's right because it's right. And I'm not going to become an enemy of God because there's everything in the world is out there. I don't want it. If it's worldly, I don't want it. Satan will have to keep it. I don't want it. I don't want his temptation. I don't want his lies. I don't want to deceive anybody. I don't want their wealth. I don't want nothing of the world. Everything I get, I want it to be attained correctly, biblically. I want to do everything I do, whatever it is, I want all of my life and not one part of it I don't want not one part of my life to dishonor God, and I want every part, every piece, every portion of my life to honor God. And that, my friend, is reasonable. That is spirit and in truth. And that's what I endeavor to do. Even the things that I don't understand and don't know and not skilled in, My first concern, I want to follow God and obey all that's in his heart and live in spirit and in truth. And I call that my reasonable service. And the Lord helped me do that. I thank him. I want him to. And I value the life of God. Easy. The things of God is not complicated. But where he's taking us is a blessing. And everything that he do, every word he speaks is important. And remember, the Holy Spirit is working. If people yield to him, who doesn't matter how old they are, I don't know how many times a little child learned something in Sunday school and mentioned it to their teacher. That teacher may believe in God and may not. But out of the mouth of babes, God can cause those little children to win the lost adults or encourage the weary adults. Every work of the Holy Spirit, it can't be counted. It can't be counted by man. But on the other side, we're going to hear some of the greatest testimonies that came from the most unexpected people that men and men would look over because they're proud. A lot of things are not given and not received and not, we've rejected it because of pride and preeminence. I'll never love those things like I love God. I hate those things. I hate the works of the Canaanites. The Amalekites was a deadly enemy because of their pride and their hatred. They went beyond. They were hateful. They hated Israel. They hated everything that had to do with God. I've never seen the Lord wipe out a whole race. And even their things, he didn't want the Israelites to have their possessions. Anything that he allowed them to keep, they at least had to burn it. And that was probably because the Lord was having mercy on them because they were halfway hard-headed. So I'm not too fast to take things from people that don't love God and try to, you know, sometimes people will give ministers money and say, well, I want you to say it this way. No, you just hold on to that. I'm on everything I minister. It must be the heart of God. The way God wants it done. I decided that from the beginning. I said, if I got a minister, I'm not going to let people sway me wrong. I didn't leave the world to play with the world. And the more I learn from the Lord, the more I hate the world system. Not the people, not the public, the system. The lying system. And if you listen to my broadcast, when I talk about cold religion, I'm talking about the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That, my friend, is cold as ice. It's cold religion. It won't work. It can't help anyone. It's a curse. It's a curse. Even the static that I was talking about earlier, that's the first stage of it. It's a curse. God, if the Holy Spirit can't back it up and honor it, it's wrong. And it's a curse. And it will hurt you. But the words of the Holy Spirit is life. Even the simple words. And everybody that loves God, it's a burning desire to spread his gospel. It's an honor to those that love God to broadcast his word. And they do it because they love him. And that is precious to God. Even if they can't give quote scriptures and books and know what scripture they're talking about. When anybody's heart reaches toward the Lord in spirit and in truth, that's precious to God. And the Lord will use them to bless people and save their lives. It doesn't take but faith the size of a mustard seed to move a mountain. So why do we underestimate what God can do in the least of these? If faith the grain of size of a mustard seed can move a literal mountain that weighs billions of tons. Why do we underestimate what God can do in the least of his people? If a carnal man can speak something under the anointing, why do we disregard the least of his people? Now, Jesus said something very important that we all need to catch. He said, John the Baptist was the greatest prophet ever.